Last Sunday at 2 p.m., Bishop Ricken came up and celebrated confirmation for 21 of our students. But before he confirmed them, he interrogated them. He asked them some questions. He asked them about the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit, and he divided them into two parts. The first part are the gifts that help us to know the truth: wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and counsel. And then the other three are the ones that help us do the truth: fortitude, piety, and fear of the Lord. Then he asked them the four gospel writers, which of course are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the three theological virtues, which are faith, hope, and charity. And so I thought, you know, you guys were all confirmed, right? So you passed that test, right? So you should know all this. Am I right? Yeah. So do you want me to question you individually or all as a group? Which would you prefer? Group? All right. Well, everyone who's been confirmed, please stand. What are the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit? Wisdom, knowledge, understanding, counsel, fortitude, piety, fear of the Lord. Not bad. How about the four gospel writers? How about the three theological virtues? Excellent. Very good. You guys can all have a seat. Give your... Wonderful, wonderful. You do me proud. So then, of course, Bishop went on to pray over the candidates, a prayer that asks the Holy Spirit to send these same seven gifts upon them. And then each young person came forward and was anointed on the forehead with chrism. And Bishop said, "Be sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit." And they said, "Amen." Most of them said, "Amen." And then Bishop, although we kind of nudged them. And then Bishop said, "Peace be with you." And they said, "And with your spirit." We want to make sure everybody knows the new secret Catholic password, you know, "And with your spirit." But it was a beautiful moment for these young people and for the church in general. You know, confirmation is, we sometimes think of it as though we're confirming our faith, which is partly true. It's partly true that when you were baptized, you didn't profess the faith yourself, but at confirmation you do. But it's actually the fact that we do that every Sunday. When we come to Mass, we're professing our faith that this is worth it. And we stand up and we profess the creed: "I believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty." So we're making that step every single Sunday. Confirmation is something just a little bit different. It's, in a real way, it's completing your baptism. At baptism, you were washed clean, and then at confirmation, you receive the Holy Spirit in a powerful way. And the bishop's words clue us in as to what's going on. He says, "Be sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit." Well, in the ancient world, a seal was an important part of daily life. For example, if the king wanted to send a scroll to a distant country, how did the people know that the contents of that scroll hadn't been tampered with, you know? Well, the king would take hot wax and he would put it across the edge, the end of the scroll, and then he would take his signet ring and he would press it into the wax, and it would leave this impression, the impression of the king's seal. And so the kings had these big rings, or sometimes, you know, more of a stamper kind of thing that was the seal, that would guarantee that this was the king's property, the king's words. So in a very real way, you are sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's like having God's seal imprinted on your forehead. It's like God signing his name on you in chrism. It guarantees that the contents of this head belong to the king. You know, I've received, and my faith is true because I've learned from the church the true faith. But also, when you go out to others and proclaim the truth, that seal of the Holy Spirit tells others that this is really God's word speaking through me. It makes us missionaries. It makes us prophets. It makes us heralds of the gospel. That's what confirmation is all about, is us being sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that's where the peace of the Spirit comes from too, is this confidence that God won't leave us. You know, baptism and confirmation can never be undone. The church teaches that they imprint an indelible character on the soul. Sounds like a seal, doesn't it? That when you're marked through baptism and confirmation, the mark can't be removed. Not by anything on earth, not by anything in heaven, and nothing in hell. You'll be marked forever as God's child, as God's messenger. That should give us confidence. And our second reading is all about the confidence that we should have in God. Confidence that we should have in God, knowing that God won't go back on His word, knowing that we, through baptism and confirmation, have been grafted into the vine, and that God is sharing His own divine life with us. He wants us to be fully alive. And so He Himself feeds us, fills us with His life. But then it's pretty clear that this confidence in God should usher forth into good works. That we've been asked to proclaim boldly. We see that several times in our first reading, to boldly proclaim the good news. But we're also being asked, as our second reading says, not just to proclaim the God's love in let us love, it says, not in word and in speech, but in deeds and truth. So it's not enough to simply say God's word, but we have to live it in our lives. A fundamental Catholic principle that actions speak louder than words. We can say we're Christians, but our actions show that. God wants our life to usher forth into fruit, abundant fruits of love, love for God and love for our neighbor. This is why we've been confirmed. It's not just so that we can feel good about ourselves, but so that we can bring God's love to other people. I was struck by this a couple years back. I was at a confirmation in the Milwaukee Archdiocese, and Bishop Skilba did the confirmation. He joked that his confirmations drove up the price of oil because he used a lot of chrism. And a lot of chrism. A lot. Actually, I'm going to pass the chrism around here so you guys can smell it. But this is the oil that's used for baptism and confirmation, and also, interestingly, for holy orders. It's got a little perfume to it. Try not to spill it, but go ahead and pass that around. So Bishop Skilba, when he did confirmations, he'd soak his hands up in the chrism oil, and then the person would come forward, and where the sponsor had their hand on their shoulder, he'd slap his one hand on the sponsor's hand, and then he'd say, "Be sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit." And he'd rub his face, his hand all over their face and forehead. And then, "Peace be with you." And he'd shake their hand. And so they'd go back and the kid is like, "Ugh." And then he's like trying to rub the chrism off and the sponsor has chrism all over them. It was kind of silly. But it was fun to see these teenage kids all get their faces washed in chrism. But he made a point in his homily by saying that the point is that we, when we go out, we should bring chrism everywhere. What we do should smell like chrism. And when we shake somebody's hand, they should be like, "What's that?" When we hang up the phone, chrism oil stuck on the phone. When we go out to eat and we sign the bill and give it back, the waitress should be like, "There's something different about those people." We should be bringing chrism, we should be spilling this oil on everybody. That's kind of the bishop's idea. And it's a beautiful image of what it means to bear fruit, that we're taking what we've been given and we're giving it away to others. Of course, that doesn't always happen, as our gospel reading reminds us, that whatever branch does not bear fruit is taken away, is cut off. Because God wants us to bear fruit, and so He prunes those that do. And this past week, I had said a couple things that I regretted, especially Friday. I had a couple phone calls that I don't think I left much chrism on the phone receiver when I hung it up, and I kind of regretted it later. And I was thinking about it, and I was like, what went wrong? And then I realized, I still need some pruning. I still have some thorns. And I thought, how much of the different things that we invest our time, effort, and energy in don't actually bear fruits of love? But we're pouring energy into things that are worthless, or even more, perhaps, are producing thorns to hurt the people that are around us and to be defensive. So you know that a gardener has to prune every year. I mean, it's not just something that you do once and you're done, but you have to continually redirect the energy of the plants in useful directions. I think it's the same for us, that it's easy for us in our lives to forget to be passing on chrism, to be giving out love, and to let that energy of our lives go in directions that aren't healthy. Allow the Lord to prune you. Allow the Lord to cut that back and get started again. More fundamentally, though, when you go out, just leave this church and whatever you do next. If you go out to breakfast, will people notice something a little different because you've been in church? Will you bless the people that are around you? Will you bear fruits for the kingdom? God wants nothing more than for us to bear fruit. He's pouring his life into us. Let's share that in the things that we say and in the way that we love. One more thing, one more little interesting experience I had this past week. Father Michael Clifford passed away, who had been pastor at St. Anthony for a little while, and I went up to his funeral. And so I knelt down in front of the casket, and I'm not making this up. I'm sitting next to the casket, and I thought, is that chrism I smell? I don't know if it was the embalming fluid or cologne or what, but it really smelled like chrism to me. And I thought, you know, I mean, he'd received chrism on the top of his forehead when he was baptized. He received chrism again on the front of his forehead when he was confirmed. And then he received chrism a third time on his hands when he was ordained a priest. And I thought, you know what? What a beautiful reminder that has he brought that chrism to other people? When people met with my Father Clifford, did he bring chrism? Was that what they remember? And how will we be remembered? When we're in the casket, will people notice the thorns that we grew? Or will people notice the smell of chrism?